Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Sometimes ordinary people do amazing things. Community inspiration with Tony and Melissa in the morning. WICC 600.
Anna Mowry is joining us live right now, and we're talking about this Facebook group. It's called Mamas Supporting Mamas. I'm actually on this group thanks to Anna. And Anna, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing well.
Yeah, and Anna is actually expecting her second baby in just a matter of weeks. So exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. We're very blessed.
Yeah, we're excited for you guys. So let's talk about this Facebook group, because I know I'm on it, but a lot of our listeners probably had never heard of it yet. So what is it all about?
Tina created this group just knowing a bunch of moms that were, you know, expecting or just had little ones. And so it kind of just blew up way bigger than we ever anticipated. You know, you start to invite a few different people, and then those people start to invite people that they know. And it's just, I think we're over like 1,200 members at this point, which is just crazy when it started out with like about 50. But it's just great. It's a place where, you know, moms go to ask their questions and realize that even though when you're a mom and you feel like everything you're doing makes you feel like you're alone in that situation, a lot of women have actually been there. And so to have people, you know, give you advice or even just like a helping hand or just motivation and great words to like go by to get you through the day it's pretty awesome.
So
but, yeah, we love it.
I love it too. I love being a part of it. And like I said, Anna had invited me. So for any of you who are wondering what I'm talking about, on Facebook, they have what's called a group. You can create groups online. And we've talked about this a couple of times, folks. We've talked about how you can actually get onto this platform and you can relate to other people who are going through similar things or you have things in common. So in this case, it's kind of like the title says, Mothers Supporting Mothers. And Anna was one of the co-creators behind this group. And like you said, Anna, it has grown tremendously. What I love about this group is that it's also not just going for advice, but a lot of the times moms, we're very motivating to each other and kind of uplifting each other when you go through those trials and tribulations as a mom too. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's hard, especially for women, because I don't know if it's a jealousy thing, but it's very hard, I feel like, for women to want to support or be able to support each other. So to actually have a place where women are legitimately supporting other women is just phenomenal. And, you know, we have certain rules so that no one's ever criticizing another mom for the way that they do something. Everyone comes from a different background. Everyone does, you know, what they do. They raise their kids totally different from somebody else. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about mama supporting mamas. So making sure, you know, that mom feels uplifted at the end and not torn down is a huge thing. When I've seen other groups on Facebook, you know, there's a lot of moms groups out there and like people can get really nasty. And we just wanted to make sure that that was never the case in our group, which I think after about almost 3 years now, we've been doing very good with. So I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I know, there have even been times we'll see somebody post something where they're posting very vulnerable, deep things. Cool.
I know. It's pretty crazy too, the amount of like virtual friends you get and just have, I know a lot of people, I mean, I'm very fortunate where like I have a very close group of friends that I see often enough, but there's a lot of moms that, you know, live out in the middle of nowhere that this could be their only sense of, you know, support. And that's huge. That's very huge. So it's pretty awesome that, you know, everyone's coming from different places and just being able to support one another. It's just, it's an awesome feeling.
Yeah. Anna Mowry, who is one of the co-creators of this group, Mamas Supporting Mamas on Facebook. Now, Anna, you need to get an invitation to be in this group. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is a private group, so I don't believe you can search for us. But it's, you know, anyone that's in the group can invite any moms that they know or, you know, potential moms. And it's just, not to say like there's no boys allowed, but I mean, it seems to be working like that.
I think it's good. I think it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should stay that way.
You know.
No,
yeah,
I love that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and any listeners out there, if you feel like you would love this kind of support, please message me. And certainly, like I said, I'm in this group and I can always check it with Anna. And if it's not a problem, it shouldn't be an issue. So I will certainly kind of run it by Anna. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk about this. Like I said, thanks for inviting me 2.5 years ago to be in this group. I love it.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you're there, as well as all the other moms that we've invited.
Anna Mowry, thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
WICC 600. We'll be right back.
It is 7 o'clock, and yet again, we shall wait for a tolls vote. According to the CT Mirror, last night, lawmakers decided to postpone Thursday's vote for the trucks-only tolls plan for at least another week. At least another week. But, Paul, I don't even know if it's going to be that soon.
Well, it's a kind of thing where I think it's a game of chicken here, and our next guest can maybe add a little bit of perspective to that.
Yes, perspective. That's a good word for it. We have Senator Tony Wong, who's on the line with us this morning. Senator, how are you?
I am great. And when I heard of the news, I really did say to myself out loud, you can't make this stuff up.
It just sounds like at some point, and maybe I'm crazy, but I do feel at some point they're going to make like a play out of this or something, because it's become a spectacle, Tony. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but and please correct me, because I would love a correction on the air right now. I have never in my life, in all of the years I've done news and I have followed politics for more than a decade, I have never heard of this splitting of a bill, having half of it go to the House, half of it go to the Senate. This just, to me, seems like what in the world is going on?
If they were going to make this a play, it would be a comedy. And that's what it really looks like. It fundamentally takes a look. It is chicken, because at the end of the day, it's another postponement. And the thing is, both the House and the Senate Democrats literally said, we don't trust you. The vote is so close, and they're saying, we don't trust you, you go first. And the latest idea, the latest floated, remarkably flabbergasting idea is, we're going to split the votes and the bill in two. We're going to take six tolls in one chamber and six tolls in another chamber simultaneously. And what's fascinating is the latest report came and talked to longtime Democratic legislators, and they all said in their wildest thoughts, in all of their 20-plus career, they have never seen anything like this. And whether you're for or against tolls, this is a mockery of the institution of the Connecticut General Assembly. People look to us to make decisions, whether pro or con, but to make it with decisiveness, with a respect for the institution and the process. This is really like child's play and a playground, and saying, let's make it up as we go.
Tony, is there and forgive me, because as much as I know about what goes on up there with you guys and gals, this I don't know. Do you have House or Senate or General Assembly parliamentarians up there like they do on the federal level that says what is exactly allowed to happen in situations like this with this bill splitting? Or is this kind of we make it up as we go along here?
Well, it literally is making it up as we go along. And people need to remember, if they do indeed come and take up this vote, they're going to emergency certify this, Paul and Melissa. So there will be no more public hearings on this. And that is a shame, because the last meeting we had was literally 2 weeks ago on a Friday afternoon. And as the newspaper and all the media reported, for over 10 hours, it was literally a 9-to-1 ratio of people coming out speaking against tolls. And with this hand-wringing and this postponement one after another because of the uncertainty, when are we going to start listening to the people if there are doubts? Why are we not taking a step back and doing what is necessary to propose better bills and more sustainable solutions to our infrastructure?
Well, and Tony, and correct me, please, if I'm wrong, but have you ever seen where this has been allowed, where you can split a bill? I just can't wrap my mind around this. And if this was allowed, why have we not seen this with other bills trying to be passed in the past? I've never heard of this before.
Well, we do allow some parliamentary process in which the House and the Senate can split bills, but it has to go back and forth and literally multiple passages. If there's a word change in one chamber, it's got to come back. So that is a process back and forth. But the idea of splitting up a bill, the idea of voting simultaneously on the same bill, it's unheard of. And ultimately, it goes back to a lack of fundamental trust among the House and Senate Democrats. The Republicans are out of this conversation. as much as we'd love to be a solution and a participant to bring our ideas, it literally is the Senate and House Democratic leadership who's saying, we've got the solutions, but nevertheless, there's no result. They All don't right. have the solutions.
Yeah.
And my point is, again, whether you're for tolls or against tolls, what it shows you is the weakness of this bill. People have said, even the most ardent toll supporters have said, this bill does not do anything to truly improve infrastructure, rail, and the necessary sustainable projects into the forward. You know, everybody has literally said, scrap the plan, go back to work and do the due diligence to create the best bill that's possible. Making this up makes us as a mockery, not only in the state, but the rest of the country.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's kind of raising some eyebrows, that's for sure. Senator Tony Wong, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I know we talk to you every Monday, but we appreciate whenever we can get your, you know, clear cut, just what we're seeing kind of happening at the Capitol at a random knowledge, you know, just a random time during the week. So thank you so much. We appreciate it.
I am like everyone else when they heard this story. You can't make this up.
Yeah.
And to bastardize the institution of the General Assembly and the legislative process, that's the real danger of this. And no one is bigger than the institution and the integrity and the respect that you need to have for it.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Senator. We're going to talk to you really soon. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Thanks, Tony. Bye-bye. Yep.
Just after 7:30, you're listening to WICC 600. I'm Melissa Sheketoff. You may remember last week it was on one of our top news stories. We were talking about that the rate has gone up for heart failure and heart attacks for women who are pregnant. Now, of course, the older you were, the higher the risk was. But it certainly made me wonder, well, oh my gosh, we need to talk about this a little bit more, because certainly a lot of you have either started families, you want to start a family soon. And that's why Dr. Michael Logue is with us this morning. He's a cardiologist at Danbury Hospital.
Good morning.
So let's talk about this a little bit. First of all, this study came as, like I said, a shock. So do you have any idea why there's been such an increase in women having heart attacks while they're pregnant?
So it's not entirely clear, but we think that it's probably related to several things. More women have hypertension, diabetes, obesity than previously. The shift in demographics of women potentially putting off pregnancies till later because of work and career, and certainly just because in general in our population we have an obesity epidemic. We think that these are some of the features, but the recent study doesn't pin those down. That's just, the suspicion based on, changes.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if you're looking to try and start a family, if you want to get pregnant, are there things that we should be doing to make sure that we can kind of lower our risk of having a heart attack?
So the healthier you are pre-pregnancy, the better your outcome should be. And the American Heart Association actually recommends now that women go for a pre-pregnancy visit with their doctor, sort of the way people do a pre-operative visit with their doctor to make sure that they're in the best possible health before an elective surgery, that women talk to either their OB or their primary care doctor or potentially see a cardiologist if it's warranted, to talk about their risk factors. And certainly in the case of women with high blood pressure or pre-existing heart disease, it's very important to make sure that those things are under control, prior to getting pregnant.
And I know just because I had my son 19 months ago, so back in 2018, I know that obviously, you wanted to stay healthy. You wanted to watch how much you were eating and what you were eating, certainly trying to work out and things like that. But I'm curious, though, when you talk about a heart attack, obviously that can take a toll on somebody's life even without carrying a child. What are some of the after effects, or I guess during effects, what can that do to a child who's in the womb?
So thankfully, heart attack itself is relatively infrequent in pregnant women. It's more of a concern in women of advanced age. Women over the age of 40, for example, have a rate of about 82 deaths during pregnancy or shortly thereafter for every 100,000 live births. And that's compared to about 17 in the overall U.S. population. So it's about eight times greater than women under the age of 25. You know, the concern is women, especially with hypertension that either precedes pregnancy or develops during pregnancy, which can affect about 1 in 10 pregnancies, that's a really big risk for heart failure, heart attack, stroke. Again, though, you know, the numbers are concerning, and as a country, we're not doing that well. As a matter of fact, if you lined up the, you know, top 55 countries in the world, you know, that we would consider sort of developed countries, we would come in dead last. Now that, you know, is nowhere near last place of all countries. You know, our rate of about 17 per 100,000 births is very small compared to, say, Sierra Leone, which is 1,300. But we're not doing as well as we should. And, you know, some states are doing much better than others. For example, California's death rate is down to about 4 per 100,000. And Connecticut comes in fourth place as far as, you know, among the best. But there's still, you know, room for improvement.
February is a great time to also just talk about heart health in general. Anything that people should be doing to be proactive to take care of their heart or maybe see if they have any issues that they should be addressing right now?
So absolutely. So, you know, smoking cessation is critically important. You know, maintaining a normal weight, regular exercise. The recommendation now is 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise per week. Controlling your risk factors such as blood pressure, cholesterol, not developing diabetes, or if you develop diabetes, to get that under control. And certainly people with a family history of heart disease need to be more concerned and, you know, get earlier evaluations to try and prevent that from developing.
Dr. Michael Logue, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. I'm sure we'll be in touch with you again very shortly.
Thank you, Melissa.
It's time to go beyond the classroom and check in with the Discovery Museum. Tony and Melissa give you science you may not know on WICC 600.
That's right. We're here, of course, with the Discovery Museum. Bill and David are back. They're in studio. You guys are doing good this morning.
Hey, Melissa, how do you know when the moon is going broke?
How do I know when the moon is going broke?
When it's down to its last quarter.
Oh, good God. You're a dad.
We get these dad jokes all the time.
The dad jokes are on fleek. Paul, do you have the dad jokes?
I love working at the Discovery Museum. Okay.
Yeah, are you the dad joke kind of guy?
Yeah, but I can't think of one now.
No, I know. They've just got to come to you.
No, yeah.
That was our Bill Finch. Okay. So yesterday we know there was a big milestone for Pluto, 90 years. What happened?
Well, you know, we're going to have David, the astronomer who knows far more about science than I do, talk about it. But we want the Discovery Museum to be the place that everybody comes to learn where we are in the universe and where we're going and how to protect the Earth and learn all about science. And one of the greatest stories we think that we've helped tell is the story of Pluto, and Chasing New Horizons is a book that we sell. New Horizons was the satellite that NASA did, and it was the most unlikely success story ever. This is the one, when you look on the internet now, see those beautiful pictures of purple and blue and gray hues of the beautiful planet Pluto, dwarf planet. Those were taken by Alan Stern's project, New Horizons. It died about 12 times in the political world, which is something I know a little bit about. And in Washington, if it weren't for a great senator from the state of Maryland, Barbara Mikulski, sticking to her guns and saying, we need to get to the edge of our universe. We need to get to the Kuiper Belt and find this dwarf planet that Clyde Tombaugh found early on. David's going to talk about that in a minute. But the reason why I like to just start off with the politics is, you know, people wonder sometimes, why do I vote? Well, science needs your vote. Whether you vote for a blue or a red or a D or an R, it's not important. Science needs you to ask those questions of where we are. And David, why don't you tell us just a little bit about what happened?
Yeah, what
Some
was it
kid,
90
right?
years
he was
ago?
23
what happened?
Or something?
Yeah, so it's a really unlikely success story. Clyde Tombaugh is actually a Kansas farmer, farm boy. And has
broke,
this,
right?
Yeah,
totally broke.
Has this obsession with astronomy. Builds his own telescope and decides that there's got to be something out there in the universe for him other than the life that he's leading at the time. And so what he does is that he draws sketches of what he sees with his small telescope and sends them to God knows how many different observatories all around the United States. And only one observatory actually writes him back and says, we'd like to hire you in Flagstaff, Arizona. And why don't you come down and become one of our staff here at the observatory? And within a few months of being there, he's put on a project. And that project is to find another planet.
And this planet X, right?
Yeah, this is Planet X. So they, this was part of the
legacy. That's where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. So this was part of the legacy of Percival Lowell, who was the founder of the observatory.
And P.L. Pluto, right?
P.L. for Percival Lowell. That's right. Mm. That's what made it just so perfect. And
tell them about the girl who came up with the name. This the god of the underworld, right?
Yes, yeah, it was the god of the underworld. They were looking for a name for this planet, and the winning entry came from England.
Wow.
11-year-old girl.
Yeah, yeah. So in Loving Your Girl, actually end up naming the planet. So it's a lot of different stories that are wrapped into
all that shouldn't probably have ever happened, right?
That's
so crazy.
We never
should have sent the satellite because the funding was cut, 20 times. The girl comes up with the name that stuck with it. It had the first two letters of Pluto.
Of his name, yeah.
This poor kid, literally from the place where nobody lived, in the middle of nowhere, gets to go to this planetarium.
And just to find it is pretty remarkable because the way that they discovered it, they had a camera. And Clyde Tombaugh would take pictures of these patches of the sky.
So cool.
And separate the images by a few days. And so the pictures were actually locked in two images of on January 23rd and 29th. So he took a picture on the 23rd, January 29th, takes another picture of the same patch of the sky, and then takes these two images and then looks at these two images side by side, looking for one tiny dot that moved among the thousands of stars that are in these two images.
No.
And using an instrument called a blink comparator, he actually has one image in one eye and the other image displayed in his other eye, and they just blink between the two. And
he could see the movement.
And he could see the movement. And he was able to find one little tiny dot that actually moved from one frame to the next.
Yeah, blink a lot because it took him till February 18th.
Yeah.
Sure, right?
So,
a lot of blinking going on there, but he did it.
Yeah. It moved. They said, that's it. That's it.
Wow. So
and,
that was yesterday.
They waited about a month before they actually announced it.
Oh, my gosh.
And this was the first planet ever discovered by an American. And then it was still considered a planet up until around 2006.
Broke my heart.
But it's still a planet. You know, there's 13 planets.
It's just a baby planet.
Some are dwarf and some are not.
Right.
The first eight
are not.
They're either gas or land. And, you know, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. And then after Neptune, there's Pluto and Ceres and Makemake and Haumea.
And I think what's exciting is that our solar system is so much bigger than we imagined.
Yeah.
So.
And one of the worst things about the International Astronomical Union's vote was, first off, there's hardly anybody left in the room. They did it under, you know, really a cloak of no public participation. But they one of the things that somebody said, how ignorant is this? Well, our kids couldn't learn more than eight. Are you kidding me? That's crazy. There's 13 planets. Learn them. Some are dwarf and some are not.
Yeah, I know.
If I can learn them, they can all learn them.
Yeah, right. There you go. I know.
Oh,
yeah,
you can learn them.
Even me.
Yeah.
Even
I've
me.
I got this.
You're
I've
talking
got
about
this,
all
guys.
This stuff. I'm the Trekkie going, but where's Starbase 56? I don't.
But here's the great thing, Paul. That question begs the bigger question. Yeah. Why a Discovery Museum? We do it because we want the kids.
Absolutely.
Citizen scientists today working with NASA are finding new planets.
Yes.
We just had an exhibit with people from Fairfield County, which is the area you cover. They were in their backyards, some with cell phones, taking pictures that were going at the same speed as the Earth, long distance, long exposures. And they had pictures of nebula and cosmos, galaxies far away, right?
Come on, David. Good God, what are you doing over there?
I'm supposed to be calling. You're supposed to be playing by play. So it was amazing, these pictures. And they took them from their backyard. Right
Now, Fairfield County. Look, as a guy who was a space runt growing up and grew up with a Gemini and Apollo and all this, the tail end of Mercury, I hopefully this will kick in, guys. I am thrilled that, you know, NASA and Boeing, they're going to start actually launching astronauts again within 2 or 3 months.
And SpaceX.
This is going to do so much for kids. Bill, you and I, and we're all the same age. We knew everything about those astronauts growing up. They were rock stars. They were heroes.
And it was all based on hope.
Yes.
What our country could do when we were all
together. The smartest
people
on the planet worked for NASA.
Yeah.
400,000 people.
An engineer or an
I was
astronaut.
Just going to say, not to mention that everybody wanted to be an astronaut.
Oh,
That doesn't even exist anymore.
The people at Sikorsky, you know, when our museum was founded, it was founded by women who were excluded from all of that stuff. And they, you know, with their pillow talk and everything else, they raised tons of money.
Yeah.
And they got this museum up in 10 years from they started. You know where they started? the basement of the North End Library.
Oh, wow.
Teaching mostly boys, yeah. And that's why we exist, because we want this to be women a lot more in STEM. Mm-hmm. It's only 10%
yep.
of the STEM jobs are being filled by women still today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But these women took it upon themselves to teach these people who are now retiring from
yeah.
Sikorsky
yeah.
math yep. and science.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the impact they had, and we still have.
Yeah. yeah.
I
yeah.
bought you a present.
Oh, my gosh.
I told you. What did I tell you about shooting rockets before?
I know. I know. Yes. This is so yes. up his alley.
You can't shoot
now
we have the, yes, the studio yes, here.
Do not
maybe the lobby? Inside. No. Yeah. It's going to go. It's going to. It's all right, fine. We'll do it in the parking lot.
Paul's built these. So I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you.
Give
so
okay.
You
don't give it to Paul.
This together as a team building exercise.
Okay.
Excellent.
We're giving her a rocket. A rocket. Model excellent. Rockets
nice.
That we built.
Oh, my gosh.
And then
gosh.
We're also giving a stack of free admission
about
tickets.
That,
To the museum. Nice. So you could give them to your friends and your listeners.
That is awesome.
And there's more where that came from.
Thank you so much. Right. If you guys.
We come very
good. I know. Seriously. Who knew? 2 weeks
right,
on
David,
it. I mean,
the name
gosh.
Of the guy that founded Pluto?
Oh, that was Clyde Tombaugh.
There you go.
Okay. Tombaugh.
Very,
and where
very cool.
Ashes?
His ashes are actually on board the New Horizons spacecraft.
Nice.
Wow.
Hurtling through space.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, if people want more information, if they want to check you guys out, what is the website for the museum?
Discovermuseum.org.
Discovermuseum.org.
Easy as that. Thank you guys so
see
much.
You next Wednesday.
We love this.
Love coming here.
I know. Nice this guys. Is a great segment. I love that you guys walk in. I'm like, oh, here they come. Here well, they come with
we
rockets.
We all believe in what we do at the Discovery Museum. So please come yeah. visit. We have a brand new planetarium.
That's
you'll
awesome.
Love it. We'll fly you to Pluto.
Oh, wow. Well, don't make promises like
David
that because I will.
This rocket will not reach Pluto, but David will personally bring you within inches of the planet Pluto.
There you go.
Bill, I'm telling you, making promises like that, I'm going to be at your front doorstep tomorrow morning.